Folks, it's about the end of some really important decisions that we're trying to make, so if I could get 10 more minutes, the board will reconvene, and the meeting will be short tonight, so please, thank you.
Don't know, he hasn't talked to me yet. Let's make a date.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being patient tonight. I can assure you that we got a lot of work done in the earlier closed session meeting. So we appreciate your indulgence, and thank you for coming out and spending your time helping us work on our community here tonight. Whoops. We have somewhat of a light agenda, but an important one. And because we started the earlier meeting with the public comments for those that were here early, what I'd like to do right now is to go back to public comments and give anyone the opportunity that had planned to do so to make their comments. We ask you to try to keep your comments to 3 to 5 minutes. And for those that are new in the meeting, there's a sheet in the back that kind of explains the code of conduct or rules that we run the meeting by here. But it's pretty open and direct. So I need something to look at somebody.
Just a brief report out on the closed session. One-liner.
I'll try to do that if we'll cooperate. We talked about the six items. They were the six items that were on your agenda. They all had to do with litigation, the issues that the district is involved in, the status of the litigation issues, and we're moving forward on each and every one of them. There's no problems. Nothing really I can discuss now because they're still in process. That was the extent of the closed session discussion. Okay, now we'll entertain any questions. I'll entertain any comments from the public next. I will entertain any public comments next.
Hi, I'm Barb Diltz, and I have a question that I keep asking, but I missed a couple of meetings. So has an auditor been selected for the 2011-2012 financials yet? I know the previous.
Yes?
Yes.
Is that the same one? Yeah, we're looking for the next year.
That's the one that wanted a 50% pay increase?
Well, he got that for the 10-11 audit, yes. And that's the same rate for 11-12.
Okay. And is the board planning to go out for an RFP for the 12-13 financials?
Yes, they are. I've already been instructed to do that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Other public comments? Okay, I don't see any. So the next item on the agenda would be to see if any of the directors have a comment. Start with Director Toombs.
Okay. A couple of things here. I'm not going to trust this microphone, so I'm just going to shout. The Kensington Public Safety Committee is having a March 21st presentation on animal safety during an emergency. It's going to be here at 7 o'clock. There'll be three veterinarians speaking to the issue of how to take care of your pets during an emergency. I hope you'll all come. Sergeant Hull and I met with members of the Contra Costa Public Safety Road Department, if you will, to discuss the Colusa Circle area. And for those of you who don't know, they're going to make some fairly extensive improvements to that neighborhood. Right now, the center footfall is going to be turned into a circle, so people actually have to slow down to go around it. There's talks about changing the crosswalk that cross over Santa Fe to the island where San Mercedes is, over to the eastern side of Colusa, and putting in an island in the middle there so people can safely wait there for the traffic to pass, and also putting ingress and egress lanes so they have a clear idea of where they're supposed to go. There's a red zone park. There's a red zone now in front of the cat store where there wasn't before, to increase visibility. And so there's some interesting things that are planned there. Finally, the building committee, which I sit on, is doing some major outreach to all the K groups in town. We've hit about two so far, and by the April meeting, we probably will hit all 10 or 12 K groups, explaining the proposed renovations and public funding alternatives for this building. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Toombs. Director Lipscomb.
Yes, I have to report that the policy committee did indeed meet, and we finally have gotten through the expense reimbursement policy. We expect to submit it to the attorneys so they can review it, and it's pretty much done. I know that it's been a long time coming, and we certainly have slaved over it, so I'm happy to report that.
Thank you. Vice President Gillette.
I have nothing to say other than hello to everyone. And I apologize in advance. For the next 2 months, I'm in a major trial, so I'm going to be sort of out of commission. But after that, I will join the real world again.
We'll miss you twice. Twice again. Director Welch.
Well, I could report on the parking and recreation committee meeting we had. You folks may remember. Can you hear me okay? You folks may remember that Dan O'Brien gave a very nice presentation at the last meeting about the problem of vegetation that may create some issues in terms of being vulnerable to fires and things like that. We talked quite a bit together at that subcommittee meeting about defining the Park and Recreation Committee meeting to include what you might call sort of property management issues, property usage issues in Kensington, things that go to managing the less developed land, dealing with fire prevention, dealing with other issues, around sort of the environment, vegetation that is out of control, things like that. So we're going to be working together to come up with a proposal, a little bit more of a global proposal than we've been working under in terms of how to define the mission of this subcommittee.
Thank you. Just the word that committee that it's actually not brand new. It's been a standing committee and not received a lot of attention perhaps for the last couple years. It is being revived with the intent under Director Welch we've got what's going on in the Park Building Committee, and I don't want to I don't give the impression that this is any way in competition with that group, but then there's a whole 9 acres of park and wildlife around us, and other things that are come under the umbrella of Parks and Recreation in Kensington. That we were taking a look at it, we thought that we need to start to be consciously planning in terms of what programs, what dollars, and what activities need to be paid attention to there. At least we let it slip behind us, and then we'll be behind the power curve. So I've asked Director Welsh to work with me to determine what type of parks and recreation Kensington would Kensington benefit by from going forward. And that's how this committee is going to be used or started up. But what we'd really like is your input and thoughts. And the goal is not to go out and find a bunch of projects and then ask for money and do them. The goal is to work with the community to determine what the priorities are. We are looking very closely at the similarity between the path work and the parks and recreation work, and see if there may be some synergies of combination, or at least mutual support there. So we need your input on that. All right. Moving along, I guess, staff comments, please.
I unfortunately got a few.
That's all right.
The first one, I've left you information on the CSDA, the California Special District Association Legislative Days, scheduled for March 14th and 15th. I gave you a little packet on your table there. Looked that over, and then I guess maybe at our next meeting, you could let me know if you're interested in going, and then we'll make the arrangements to make those reservations. Okay? Second thing is I received a letter, I think it was on Monday, from the Contra Costa County Taxpayer Association, and the best thing to do is just read it to you. Dear Contra Costa County public official, open, accessible government is a cornerstone to public trust, which is essential for effective governance. The Contra Costa Taxpayers Association invites you to participate in National Sunshine Week, which is this week, to affirm your agency's ongoing commitment to openness, transparency, and accountability of local government officials. We invite you to adopt a proclamation at one of your March or April meetings commemorating Sunshine Week and recognizing the importance of government transparency and accessibility. For your convenience, a suggested proclamation is enclosed and is also available at CocoTax website. I provided you with their so-called resolution, and if the board is interested, yay, nay, you find this one?
No.
Yeah. Fine, kid. Well, that's a used mattress.
No. Okay, there's the second one? Okay, never mind. What I can do is, if you're interested, I'll put this together and present it to the board for consideration at the next meeting. Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
The third thing I have is the letter that I believe you have in front of you from the school board. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like this. This one I know is out there.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right, here we have this letter. Okay, last month, when Dr. Harder came to us and he presented the West Contra Costa County Unified School District's bonded indebtedness, I can't say that word, waiver, where they were asking to increase their debt limit, and the board passed resolution 2013-01. Well, basically, I got an email from Dr. Harder yesterday asking that I'd be willing to sign a letter to the State Board of Equalization to support the district's debt limit waiver. And that letter is in front of you there, okay? And basically, it's basically saying what you passed in the resolution. The reason I'm bringing it to your attention now is, I don't know if anybody saw the editorial in the Contra Costa Times on Monday. It was kind of critical of the West County School District and their policy of issuing these bonds that aren't going to be paid for several years down the road. So before I sent this letter in, I wanted you to review it and make sure there's no change of heart or anything before I went forward with it.
I agree, Chief, I think it's fine too.
Okay.
We did pass the resolution, and there was an extensive addressing of that critical article. I'm not sure it was Monday, but following that critical opinion. There was Madeline Cronenberg put in a full response to that, and I believe that I have that in my email, but I will send that to you.
Okay, but as long as the board's comfortable with me sending that letter, it's in front of you, I'll send it off tomorrow. The fourth thing I have is Senator Lonnie Hancock, and I'll give you a copy of that. That letter is also in your pile there. Nathan Rapp, her representative, or I guess office, I don't know what you call him, office person in the Berkeley office, contacted me and requested that we consider supporting Senator Hancock's Use Mattress Recovery and Recycling Act. So I've got that letter, what they're asking basically us to approve and acknowledge that we think it's a good idea. What I can do, if the board wishes, I'll put it on for the agenda next month, and then we can have a whole public discussion. But I just want to have your okay to move forward with that. Okay? And then finally, just to give you an informational update on my schedule, next week I agreed to do the city of Pinole a favor by sitting on a oral board. They're testing for the position of police commander, and their chief asked if I would help him out and sit on that panel, and I agreed, and I'll be sitting on that panel March 20th and 21st, and I'll be attending district meetings here both those nights. But I'll be available, but I just want you to know that's on my calendar. Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Chief. With that, we'll move to the consent calendar. Is there any item on the consent calendar that any of the directors would like pulled and discussed?
Item
F? Vice President Gillette has asked for the general manager's report. Is I, letter I, to be pulled and discussed. I would like to have a quick discussion on item B, profit and loss budget performance. Any other items? Vice President Gillette, why don't you go first?
I just had a question. There's information there about the discussion with Joya on the lights. And I just wanted to follow up and see if there's any further information. I understand there's going to be a meeting on the 20th.
Yes.
And that's it?
Yes.
Yeah. Has it been announced and publicized within the community?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for following up on that.
Real quickly, do you think Officer Wilson can shoot an email out about that on his feed?
Not now. He already has.
Oh.
Yeah, I got several email reminders, including from a couple of community groups. Thank you very much. I'm glad everybody is tuned into this. I do have one question. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I sent Supervisor Joya a note asking for some specific numbers relative to what the cost of the lighting has been for the district, how much we've invested in it, what the cost of replacement would be, and I think you have a copy of it. They said that they were going to provide that information prior to the meeting that night, specifically so we wouldn't be trying to digest data while we were eating a motion at the same time. And so do you know if they've indicated they have that report ready for us yet?
I have not had contact with Joya's office since they set up the meeting.
Okay.
It would be possible to follow up on that. I mean, he's our representative, and she has that information for the meeting.
All right. You want me to call him, or do you wish to? I don't know what you asked for.
Because I haven't heard, but I'll be more than happy to give them a call.
I don't know what you're asking them for, so. Okay.
I just know I've been spending a lot of time in Oakland, and they have really nice lights in their streets compared to what we have. You don't have to really drive.
And that meeting, by the way, just to remind everybody, is the 20th, next Wednesday.
Where is it?
Right here.
Here. I don't think the street is big enough for all the people who are going to attend. Okay, any other issues for the consent calendar?
You pulled B.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did. Yes. And the reason I pulled item B is I know that you have been spending a lot of time on the budget as a Director Toombs. I've been looking it over as well. And one of the things, this is a question. The question is, as I look at the budget, it looks like it's zero base, flat month over month over month as a projection. But do we have any kind of trend? So, for example, at the end of 7 months, I suspect the trend in some areas is different than what the budget may be set for that particular month. And it might be helpful if we can look to see which way some of the numbers are going to trend out.
Well, to answer your question, in my general manager's report,
yes,
I have the whole budget section
right,
at the beginning.
Right. And that's very helpful.
And the last several months, it's the same thing. You want to talk about a trend, it's the same thing. It's legal, and it's the legal costs associated with maintaining the garbage contract. Those are the things that were unforeseen, and they're skyrocketing. Other than that, there's one more, and that was our cost of forensics for the homicide. But other than that, everything's where we projected they'd be in the budget.
How many of those things would you say, just off the cuff, it's not fair because you haven't practiced the answer here, how many of those things were unintended consequences? In other words, you had no idea when we were doing the budget that we could experience some kind of hit like that.
Well, all three of them. I couldn't foresee the homicide for sure. The other ones,
you kind of knew
something would probably happen, but you couldn't be sure.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get reimbursed for any of the forensic?
No. In fact, I even questioned. I've been fighting with the sheriff's office over the most recent one. They charged us a fee for an autopsy, and I've never heard of that before. But I couldn't fight it. So.
Well, and for those in the audience, the staff has been doing a lot of work in the budget planning. We're going to get with the finance committee, and we are seriously looking at projecting out. One of the things the Chief Harmon has introduced is the notion of using a five-year look-see out in taking under consideration the kind of budget needs that the department will need, and then bringing that back to reality of the year after year. So it's a very detailed process, and I, Chief, we appreciate all the effort you're putting into it.
Thanks.
Okay. Can I have, is there anything else for the approval calendar? If not, then can I have a motion to accept?
I'll move to accept the consent calendar.
Okay. Well, there's a motion to accept. Can I have a motion to approve? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. It's carried unanimously. We're moving on to the new district business. The first person we're going to have working with us tonight or talking to us is a person you should get to know. Very nice guy to talk with, and he touches all of our hearts one way or the other every morning and evening when we go in and out of our driveway. It's Joe Yee, who's the Assistant Director of Public Works for Contra Costa County. And I asked Joe to join us to talk a little bit about what's going on in the streets.
Good evening, directors and ladies and gentlemen of the audience. I am Joe Yee, and I am the Division Manager of our Maintenance Division for the County Public Works Department. And thank you for having me here to provide an update of the county's three-year project to resurface the streets in Kensington. I included some maps in the back. I don't know if you picked up some, but it shows the three-year project projected out and the locations where the roads will get resurfaced. And actually, we're actually in our second year. Last year, we resurfaced the roads basically east of Arlington. This year, we're going to resurface Arlington and the roads pretty much north. And the final project will be on the west side of Arlington. Last year, if you recall, some of you might know, there was a slide project we were repairing up in Los Altos. So that street did not get surfaced, but will be added in this summer. The project to resurface the road is being advertised for bids next Tuesday, and is anticipated to start the middle of, sometime in July. But prior to that, that's being done by a contractor, but the preparation of the road has started with our crews. You might have noticed them this week, we're out there sealing the cracks, and as in the next few months, we'll be coming back and paving some of the bad pavement, just to provide a good base for the surfacing that's going to come in July. Let's see, what else can I tell you? It really is about it for the roads. You might have noticed that the curb ramps were installed along Arlington. That was done by a contractor just to improve mobility in the town. And other than that, within 3 years, we'll complete the resurfacing of all the streets in Kensington. Yes. It's called a microsurface.
Go ahead.
Can I direct your attention to York Avenue, the public that on York Avenue? I received an email from someone who can't be here tonight who said that it was not, that the contractor seemed not to have followed through on it, and it was in a very messy condition. So if you could just direct some attention to that.
The York Circle. Okay, I'll make a note of it.
At the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
There's questions also in the audience.
Sure. I don't know. It sounds like it's being done through our traffic section. And once they get that figured out, they'll probably put it out to bid through our construction division. So after it's built, then I might come back and let you know how we're maintaining it. But right now, I think it's still in the traffic section. So this is actually the first time I heard about it.
there's a lengthy email that there's an active neighborhood group down there. There's a lengthy email that we put in the action walk the neighborhood down. And I'm happy to share that with you. It's nothing confidential. I'll send you a copy of it. We'll talk about what they plan to do. And there's a brief timeline. But the biggest thing is they're going to expand the size of that circle, like now it's an oval, and it's consequential to cross traffic. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about down there, though, is the park truck, and the yellow's on by the curb, which actually slows traffic down. So the whole notion is to make this circle bigger, so people have to slow around the curb. Right now, it's just a minor speed bump going through the traffic.
Yeah, for traffic calming, visually too, if things look narrower, people tend to slow down.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I have a requirement. You're going to put it in the curb. We have the better car coming from Arlington up to the upwind station. I said that actually, after that, they call it.
The curb ramp?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I call it a real process. You can't know that if you cut too close, or if you cut normally, you cut it really wide, cut it straight, and then like that. But I thought that would be taken care of. And when you put that in, we just got to get it. I was wondering that because there's so many people out, or was there a chance before?
I think I know what you're talking about. When I did the walkthrough with our construction division who built that project, they did mention that the grades were not built according to plan, that people were bottoming out their vehicles.
Yeah.
And the contractor was required to tear it out and rebuild it. And I remember the comment that one of the engineers made was, I think we solved it because we haven't been hearing complaints. I guess it's better that it's still an issue. Okay, I'll let them know. I'm not sure if there's not much more they can do, but whenever you're trying to fit in grades and things like that, I think they made it better, but it doesn't sound like it's perfect yet.
Well, no, it really isn't better. It looks like it.
Oh.
When they first did it, somebody complained. It's just like, they could have looked at the tarmac.
Okay.
And that was true, but then they had to put in the permanent fixture. There was that.
Okay.
That would take a right turn there. You make it all right to see up.
Okay. And that was Arlington and Westminster?
Arlington.
Okay. I'll check with the construction folks. Yes, sir.
Will this construction involve changing or disturbing the existing landscaping within the circle?
No. Oh, which project, sorry? I don't know about that. I was referring to the resurfacing project. Close the circle, okay. I don't know.
The reason I ask is because the students have worked very hard to install the landscaping, and it is in the hands of contractors, so it is sensitive to that. That would be really good.
I'll pass your concern on to our traffic folks.
Could I ask if people have questions about any of these projects, who's the contact person for the county?
It depends. I can answer majority of the maintenance-related questions. For traffic-related questions, it would be our traffic engineer, Monish Sen, if that helps. Yes, ma'am.
Lower Stratford Road before it intersects Berkeley Park Boulevard.
Okay.
They're developing some nice holes.
Okay.
That needs to know what the, from your description, the western part of the intersects, is it kind of last on the...
It's 3 years, but if there are potholes now that are a hazard, we'll take care of it. If there are current hazards on that street, we'll take care of it before the resurfacing.
I can say you said so.
Yes.
Look out, you'll hold it.
So Lower Stratford pothole.
Just before Berkeley Park Boulevard.
Okay. Quick question. What is the difference between microsurfacing and sealing?
Microsurfacing is a sealing.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit more, it sets up quicker than the traditional slurry seal. You might be familiar with slurry seal, which is basically an emulsion with a sand mixed in, and the intent of putting it on the road surface is to seal any cracks to prevent water intrusion, which lengthens the life of the pavement. The slurry seal requires evaporation for it to set, for the water to evaporate out of the emulsion. Whereas a microsurface is a chemical reaction. So instead of closing the road for half a day for the material to set up, the microsurface can set up within the hour. And we went to this a little bit more expensive treatment just to reduce the inconvenience to the traveling public.
You need certain temperatures to have that work done?
Yes, but the microsurface makes it a little bit, makes it more forgiving.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. First question is, when someone has to have a curb cut or desires a curb cut, who do they contact? And I see you guys modifying a lot of the curbs around Kensington, and so what under what program is that curb modification program happening?
That would happen in our transportation engineering division.
Okay.
They maintained requests from the public for curb ramp, and they'll add it to their priority list. And they typically, at least when I was there, we would prioritize where there's a higher pedestrian load,
right,
like downtown areas or streets leading to schools. And so that's where I would start with our transportation engineering division.
Is it standard now to, where there's a pedestrian crossing, to put those non-skid yellow pads there?
Yes, that's part of the standards now. For it includes that detectable warning surface for the visually impaired.
Mm-hmm. And my other question is, said I wasn't going to do this, but I will. Going down Franciscan Way, you get to Sunset, and there's a little left-hand turn you have to make if you're going downhill. As you're coming uphill, the pavement there is always uneven, and because you're coming uphill and at some speed sometimes as you're climbing, there are potholes that regularly develop there that you don't see until it's eating your car. And a couple times I've called, you guys have been responsive, but the question I have, and it seems to be right on the border between El Cerrito and Kensington, and who has the oversight or responsibility to take care of that border territory in terms of road maintenance?
Usually, sometimes the border is not that clear.
Your border patrol, you know.
Sometimes in some locations we'll put a sign that says end of county maintained road.
Yeah, right.
It does two things. It helps our crews know where our limits are. But in that particular case, I'm not sure. And so it depends on which side of the line the pothole is.
Would it be a different work order for El Cerrito work than Kensington work?
Yes. If it's on the El Cerrito side, then the city of El Cerrito would take care of it. If it's on the Kensington side, the county would take care of it. We don't have an agreement where we maintain the city's roads. Not, we do, for example, City of Oakley. We still do have a contract with them to maintain whenever they call us. But we don't have that agreement with El Cerrito.
Very interesting.
I'll have our crews take a look at that location and see what potholes there are. And if this is on the county side, we'll definitely
try my card one of those. I'd like it back.
What was the location again? I'm sorry. The location?
Franciscan and Sunset, where they come together and that little dead end there.
Yeah.
Okay. We have one more question.
It'll be our traffic engineer, Monish Sen.
Yeah. He's been out several times.
Is it called Monish County Traffic Engineer?
Correct.
What is his name?
Monish, M-O-N-I-S-H, Sen, S-E-N.
Monish Sen. Yes,
Sen is his last name. Yes, he's our traffic engineer, And he'll explain to you, too, that in order to install a stop sign, there's criteria that he has to run through, developed by Caltrans. Because sometimes putting in a traffic stop sign creates more accidents than it does, because people don't expect to stop. Mm-hmm. And it creates more rear enders.
Are there any other questions for Joe? I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to come and talk with us. It's really good to have a relationship with the county directors and know that we can call upon you for answers and that you can put a name with the faces and things like that. So,
well, I'm glad to be here and thank you for having me tonight.
The coffee's on me next time.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving right along, the next item, Linda, do you have the whole thing or just the first one? There's several issues that have to do with assembly bills. I see the first one your name is next to with regard to Nancy Skinner.
Yep, I think I'm on board for all three of them.
Okay, yay.
It's always a pleasure. actually, this is a pleasure. Thank you very much. This is, we were approached by Nancy Skinner's office to take a position with respect to three bills that she's put up and to see if we could get a resolution in support of those bills. It's very helpful, as we found the last time that we did this was in relation to the West County Unified School District in support of their issuing the bonds. It helps people to argue in favor of bill when they can say that local constituencies have come together and are in support of that particular bill or that particular program. Representative Skinner has her, her people have approached me with three of them, and I find them all to be meritorious. AB 39 is following Proposition 39, which has its background, it's in the packet, it has its background in closing a loophole of taxation for corporations that had multi-state presences. It, previously, the corporations had been able to select from two different formulas for taxation, and now they can only select from one formula for taxation, regardless of where they practice their business. And this has created a fund which is to be designated, and this passed overwhelmingly in California in the last election, and it created a fund for energy, for clean energy jobs, and for retrofitting of things like schools and public buildings. I believe that the figure is that schools consume some 12% of the energy requirements of the public buildings of the state of California. The governor proposed a budget, so we have Proposition 39 passed. Taxation is producing a fund. The fund is designated to be used for clean energy projects and for going forward environmentally sound projects. And it is to be used for public buildings. But it isn't, there's no detail in the proposition itself for the implementation of the use of those funds. Representative Skinner has introduced Assembly Bill 39, and I apologize to you if this sounds a little rough, but it's hard to get the whole legislative picture here. And put it eloquently. Representative Skinner has put forward in the Assembly Assembly Bill 39, and that bill calls for half of those funds to be devoted to approximately half of the 10,000, and that surprised me, 10,000 public schools in California. In K through 12. It's almost like, in my mind, it's almost a no-brainer. Here's the fund sitting out there. It's designated for use in energy, in clean energy pursuits. It's going to create, the estimate is, some 30,000 jobs. The likelihood is that it will help to retrofit approximately 5,000 public schools. And there's a companion bill which was put forward in the Senate. I think it's Senate Bill, I think it's also called 39, by Kevin DeLeon, Senator DeLeon. And it's a companion bill in the other chamber. I think it's a great idea. The governor's budget has, actually, the budget that the governor proposed designated the entire fund to go to the school, so that's still open to tinkering by the legislature. But this is very specific, and Representative Skinner is an environmentally conscious representative, and that's the purpose of the monies, was to do this, and it seems like it's very helpful to have that go to the school, and in the course of that, we'll get some retrofitting of the school at the same time. So what I would be asking for on her behalf is for a resolution of this board that they support the ideas in AB 39. Okay. Do you have any questions? Yeah. I mean, I can take all three of these bills all at once.
Why don't we take them one at a time? I'm already
okay.
Confused, though.
Okay.
Any questions about this?
Yeah, a couple. Are Nancy Skinner and the governor in agreement on what's in the bills, or is there any conflict between the bills and what's proposed in the governor's budget?
I don't know that they have spoken about it. Here is what I think. Here is my sense of it. that when the government, pardon me, when the governor puts forward a budget, it is a proposal on how to use the money, and it doesn't get accepted and passed until the legislature is capable. And the mere fact that the governor would put forth a proposal which dedicates all of that fund to the school doesn't necessarily mean that is how it will wind up. But ultimately, as I understand it, it's the legislature's decision as to how that money is.
Well, that's why I'm asking, why are there bills? I mean, if it's going to, they'll have to meet, may revise, and they'll eventually vote on it.
Yes, these are in the very early stages, and what Representative Skinner has asked us for is support in her proposition, which is specifically to have half of the monies that will come into that fund as a result of Proposition 39 devoted to energy, green retrofitting, and the jobs that come with it in the public schools. It's very specific.
So it's more specific than the governor's proposal, is that what you're saying?
The governor...
About the use of the money for...
As I can read you the background information that I have. I'll take a minute here just to read this. Implementing Proposition 39, not Assemblywoman Skinner's AB 39. The governor's proposed budget. Background. The California Constitution requires that the governor submit a budget to the state legislature within the first 10 days of each year. The governor's budget is not a bill in the traditional sense. It is a proposal. Indeed, the governor's budget is best seen as his blueprint of what he believes the final budget should look like. Legislators in the California State Senate and Assembly will craft the statutory language that will be placed within budget bills. Often, significant portions of the governor's proposed budget are never voted on by legislators. Nevertheless, the governor's proposed budget marks the beginning of a multi-month collaborative process between the governor and legislative leaders that culminates with the approval of the state budget in the summer. The governor's proposal on Proposition 39. In his 2013-2014 budget, the governor allocates all fund monies to schools and community colleges for the purpose of reducing utility rates and expanding renewable energy resources. The governor budgets $450 million in the fund monies for the 2013-2014 year and $550 million for each of the next 4 years. The governor applies all Proposition 39 funds, including fund monies, toward the Prop 98 calculation. That gets into the Proposition 98 calculation as one of the ways in which money comes from the state to the local jurisdictions. So the governor's proposal is for all of those funds to go into the schools for those purposes. AB 39 perhaps anticipates a more practical view of how it will go.
So I have a question.
Go.
I agree with this, although I would be hesitant to endorse it without actually reading the bill. I trust you implicitly, you know that, but I just feel it like without seeing the bill. But I have a more philosophical question, and that is this the sort of thing that we should be doing? I mean, we have three bills tonight. Once they see us, we start getting bills from everybody who's in the state saying we endorse this. And I actually was going to raise, I heard something about mayors across the country being against, being for gun control, and I thought, well, which is definitely an issue raised. So I just think there's a philosophical issue first that we should address, and then a practical issue of how we make sure we feel comfortable that things still be the ones we should support. And I don't know if we've done it before.
That is an interesting issue. Should we be doing that? In my view, I think we should. I mean, some things like Lonnie Hancock has a position right now. What is Lonnie's exact position, Chief, on that committee? She's the head of the committee.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Senator Lonnie Hancock actually chairs the law enforcement committee in the state. So when she kind of approaches us for support on her mattress bill, I bring it forward to the board because I'm going to need a friend in the coming months, depending on how that lawsuit goes. That's my two cents on it.
So I guess
some of it is, yes, it's a very good philosophical question. And maybe the public would like to weigh in here, too. Should we be bringing bills, bringing when we're approached by a representative, and we invite them from time to time in different capacities to come and speak in this jurisdiction, and we like them to look out for us, should we be looking into some of the things that they think are important? Obviously, they put in more, Representative Skinner has put in more than three bills, and she's asking us to these three. Would you consider giving a resolution in support of them? I'm bringing it up because I was asked to.
You know, actually, I think that was a good point Pat raised, and you know, it seems to me when there's an extraordinary issue, it makes sense to have a resolution. There, you know, it's really something you do when something is really important. But if you got into a regular habit, it could, you know, it could grind us to a halt. So that's worth considering.
I have no problem at all asking you to give up, weigh in on these bills. I think they're important to our community. And Ms. Skinner has been a friend of Kingston for a long time, and I have absolutely no problem discussing these bills and making a recommendation.
Thank you. Any other comments? I think the more knowledge there was, I missed it. Sorry, I got my reading glasses, not my looking glasses.
Well, as a member of the public, I would have no problem at all with my opinion on a couple of them. I'm just looking at them briefly, not briefly. I've been sitting here reading them for an hour or two. And I'd be very happy to award, especially number 48, 127, and 26.
Thank you. As far as I can see it, I believe in making informed decisions, and so the more information of this type that is brought to me as a voter, the more I like the opportunity to be called upon to vote on it. And what I really don't like is to ask to be decide on something where I have no knowledge whatsoever, and I may have to live with the consequences.
I want to make it clear, I agree with all three of these, and I'd be happy to endorse them. My issue is whether we, as the Kensington Protection Community Services Board, have an interest, have the right to speak on behalf of our community for these three issues.
That's a little difficult.
And that to me is the issue. And I don't know that I want to have people coming to us, whether they're friends of ours or not, asking us to endorse various political things that may reflect the political views of those of us on the board, but may not reflect the political views of our community. I don't know that we have a reason to do that. If there were something that impacted the police department, for example, I think that would be legitimate for us to weigh in on. But I'm not sure that every bill that's presented to the Senate or Assembly in the state of California is something that we should be taking a position on unless we feel that our community is empowered to do that. That's my goal.
That's an excellent comment.
Well, hi, John Simon. I don't know if either Lynn or Joan want to chime in, but it's my understanding that historically speaking, this board has chosen not to get involved. But that doesn't mean that you may not want to change that precedent as to what you want to do going forward. But that's my understanding as to historically, this is not a new issue with a representative coming to the board for their endorsement. So, but anyway, long story short, my understanding is historically the board has chosen for all these reasons that have been mentioned to just say we're just not going to get involved because it's very difficult to come up with a beginning or an end to what qualifies, what doesn't, what's pertinent, what isn't, so for whatever it's worth. Historically, we haven't gotten too involved.
Thank you, John. And now, actually, you've piqued my interest to my fellow board members in the audience. Where do we draw the line?
There are issues that when you're brought up, and Joel reported on them, and that they were going to offer more of a wider because people really basically don't know what we are. So I think you agree. Good for that. But I understand, you know, the need to have some kind of gatekeeping system on that because you do have to break on it. Now, this doesn't mean that this is going to cause a flood. But the younger people are getting elected, and they are much more active. And it's new blogging for a lot of them. And with the new part. The new blogging for a lot of these people, and they're changing the rules. So you might find that your demand more input output from the local board than people have in the past. Our past history of not getting involved might not serve well with the members of the state.
Excellent comments. Any more? Director Toombs.
I think one thing that's beneficial right now from my precinct is I can give everybody here a background in the pre-bill. And if nothing else, we have a discussion here about what's out there and what our representative in the assembly thinks is important. And then I think we can talk about it. So why don't I go ahead and do that, and then we can talk about whether or not any of them is appropriate for us to take a position on them.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
I'm thinking one nice thing would be to read the bills as Director DeLette is suggesting. It might be nice to sort of direct these folks to read the bills as well, tell them how to access them online. It's pretty easy to do, and maybe we could have a discussion in that meeting to be more informed about it.
There is a summary in the packet tonight of each of the bills. I went outside of that summary and looked a little into the background of it. But there is a pretty succinct summary for each of one pager. And so anybody who wants to go online to just see the summary can find that in the agenda packet tonight. And if you want more information, you can go to Google it and look at the whole text.
Yeah, you just go to the California Legislature. Just punch in the bill number and get the bill right. But.
So that's basically the purpose of AB 39 is that Proposition 39 created a different tax structure for multi-state corporations. It's expected to yield a significant amount of money in tax revenues. Those revenues are earmarked for energy efficiency and green projects in the state of California. It is expected to produce some 30,000 jobs in the state of California. The governor's budget proposes to use all of it in the public schools, ranging from kindergarten through the colleges. And AB 39, Representative Skinner, and the companion bill in the Senate proposes to devote approximately half of those revenues to the K-12 schools, public schools. So that's that one.
Do you know why she's proposing something different from the children?
Probably because I'm speculating, but I suspect she thought that that would fly better.
Okay.
Well, I still don't understand that, because if it wouldn't fly better, that's what the May revise is for. I mean, it's just another bill. I mean, the budget bill is a bill, like any other bill.
All we're being asked to do is weigh in on the idea of the devotion of the funds to the energy efficiency in the school, the purpose being that Proposition 39 itself did not have implementation guidelines, because it didn't have implementation guidelines, and because we know that we can save a tremendous amount of money and serve jobs And folks, it's been like 80 degrees out there. Do I hear climate change anywhere? Because of that, she's starting from this point of view. So I think that her bill, I wouldn't expect, would survive in its current formulation. What she's looking for is grassroots support in the form of a letter that says the people, the Pennington Police Protection Community Services Board thinks it's a good idea to take this money and invest it in projects in the schools. That's what she's looking for. And the question you raise is a fair one. And so that's my report on AB 39. Now the second one that she asked for is, and it's funny, they all relate, it's not funny, it's interesting, that they all relate to health when you get down to it. Bulletproof Assembly Bill 48. Assembly Bill 48 regulates the sale of ammunition by creating a procedure. It regulates the sale by requiring sellers to be licensed, purchasers to show ID, sales to be reported to the Department of Justice and local law enforcement to be informed when someone buys large quantities of ammunition in a short period of time. It also, what's not on here, it bans tests to convert to assault weapons. More than 2,000 Californians were killed by guns last year. And I don't know if there is a companion Senate bill to this one, but that's the purpose of this bill. And then the final one is regarding, it's again another green bill, AB 127, and it's a bill to change the kind of flame retardants that are in insulation in homes. Well, I was really kind of happy that she asked me to take a look at this one because I never thought of that before. We've all heard about things like the asbestos, and you know, people are having all these problems with the Chinese wall boards and leaking stuff. I didn't know that in order to help harden up various of the polystyrenes that are inside the walls of construction, in order to make them flame retardant, that chemicals are put in there, which are basically these halogenated organic compounds, which is a group of chlorine, phthalazine, I think it is, I've got one written down here, hexabromide dicyclodotatane, and it's these are persistent toxic chemicals which leach. And we know that we banned these fire retardants in children's clothing, but I never thought of the idea that inside your home there could be porosity and these could be oxygenating and decaying, because they have 7 electrons in the outer shell, all of these halogens, and all they need is a single electron. I mean, they oxidize really easily. So people could be getting these toxic substances from the insulation in the walls. This bill would simply say that you can't use those kinds of chemicals in the plastic foam insulation in buildings in order to increase their energy efficiency, and you have to use a substitute which doesn't have that kind of toxicity of the halogens. So that's that bill. So, yes, they are, in fact, I did look up one of them, it's Tris phosphate, and Tris is the one that we banned in the children's clothing. So, that's the three bills. And I have no problem taking a position and saying I support all three of them. I think your question, however, on whether or not we wish to get involved in that is a good one. And maybe we should put it over for consideration for the next meeting.
Or actually comment. I don't know if you folks read AB 48, the description here, but someone in Congress either has a great sense of humor or they didn't realize what they were doing. The Firearm Owners Protection Act, abbreviated FOPA,
I just thought that was so comical. I bet somebody snuck that in without anybody.
Faux pas,
as the French say.
Okay. Okay, so that's what we've been asked to do.
I thought
it was fun.
Barbara.
Do you know if this AB-127 has also been presented to the Huntington Fire Protection Board?
I did not.
They might also like to know about it.
I did not. But I will pass it along.
Pursuant to AB-48, I'm
recently bought some suits then I had to run my driver's license through the machine. And I think bullets are a whole lot worse than Sudafed. But buy Sudafed for their nose instead of to make methamphetamine.
Yeah,
and yet there's a law in place that you, because of the possibility and the danger of methamphetamine, that it's regulated in that you are when you buy it, you have to disclose who you are that's buying it. Just making an argument, that's all.
There's some
fair enough. No, I catch where you're coming. I've got where you're coming from on it. I think, so what's the sense of the body?
Was there going to be a motion to put these bills over to think about it? Or do you want to make a decision with the board right now to approve?
Well, do we want to make, I think we should be putting it over because people have the sense they want to read more about these bills anyway. But then there's the larger issue in the context of what John spoke about and what you raised before, Pat. Should we be entertaining requests from our representatives to demonstrate support? I am of the opinion that when I need them, I want to be able to say, hey, I was there for you, and so I think yes, and that's where I come out. But I'm happy to put this over so we can reflect upon that. And I guess what I'm saying is I would make my own motion to table consideration of support, of a resolution of support for these three bills until the next meeting.
I can second that. I think we'll be able to have thought about this a lot more probably talk a lot more intelligently about it.
Discussion?
Not you, but me. I can talk more intelligently.
Is there any time frame that this
I didn't get a time frame for it. I did get a phone call from her representative today to ask if I had any questions, and basically she didn't have any answers to the questions I asked.
The question is, what time frame does she give you?
Yeah, that's the one I didn't ask.
Well, normally these things get decided at the end of summer, so it probably is some time.
I think we have some more time for that. Chief, do you know of any time frame on these?
No.
Okay. I do want to take a minute for doing the usual referral that the pre-person and the claim seems very simple. Really understanding the group, but it's so thank you.
Okay, yes, well, I agree.
Motion's been made. It's been seconded. For our take vote, all in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, carried unanimously. We will put over the three motions for board study and bring it up again at the next meeting. Approval.
Do you want a little side note to that last thing?
Yes.
We recently purchased $3,000 worth of ammunition for guns that have bigger than 10 round clips out of state from Texas on a credit card. So we're probably in violation about four of those if this bill passes. But I just want
to say, you're the ones that are supposed to be purchasing them.
I don't know. It's not in the fine print. But I can see my next scandals coming down the road right now. Chief of police purchases large amount of ammunition from Texas.
Okay.
Don't print that, please.
H-A-R.
Number three. Chief Hartman's going to ask if anybody wants to step out there and become a board of director member for the CSDA.
This is kind of like last month's issue, except this is the CSDA asking this time, not the Special Districts Risk Management Association. So basically, it's just out there for you. If you want to serve on their board, you want to run for election for that board, let me know and we'll fill out the paperwork. You want more?
I'll be enough.
I was listening for volunteers. Okay, are there any other issues?
Well, wait a minute. So, did anybody try to step forward and try to do this? Because we have to have a board resolution endorsing the person.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you take it. That's all I
know. Well, so this is, okay.
But
are you volunteering?
No, I'm not.
Sounds like you're volunteering.
Yeah, I wanted to make it clear what we were being asked to do. If anybody wants to do it, does the board want to put a resolution? But no one wants to do it.
Good
point.
No, it really is valuable. I mean, the Special Districts Association, we run our entire town through special districts. It can't be more important than having an organization that regionally deals with special districts as a whole. And I would love to participate. I just don't have any more time.
Yeah, and as I've come to find out, we have more special districts in the state of California than any other form of city government. Yeah, it's huge. And so while we may make a little bit light of it here, there is a lot of important decisions made for a lot of cities through the special district form of government. Jill?
Also, as an aside, Sherry Sterrett holds that seat, and she's running for reelection, and she is solid. I mean, she's been with the CSDA for years.
Right.
She's been the president of CSDA. She's very active. She's an excellent choice, and I like you all, but I'd vote for her before I voted, you know, for anybody. You know, she's outstanding.
Now.
Yes, see. So we will be well representative, even if one of you choose not to try to run against her.
To Metaphor. You asked the board permission, Silver Star National Police Memorial Parade.
Yeah, just so the board knows, the first week in May is National Law Enforcement Week, and all the states do different things. In California, they have a big ceremony up in Sacramento for all the fallen officers. Nevada also has a week full of activities, and we just recently learned that part of their activities is a law enforcement parade. They actually kind of put a bit of a fun face on it, and all the agencies from around the, mostly around the country, well, that's dumb, most of them from around the western states, a lot of them participate by bringing their old cars and stuff. And since we have a few old cars, I was thinking about ours. But anyway, one of the things we're asking is, I just found out about this, the parade and all the festivities up there. And one of the cool things about it was that in 2009, they opened up the Law Enforcement Museum in Virginia City. But what I kind of knew about the museum, but what I didn't know until recently was the biggest portion, the section of that museum, was put together by Walter Geist. Anybody know the Geist? Who was the former Kensington police chief. And just an aside, I'm not saying anything, but when I took the job here, I just kind of noticed that there wasn't any old stuff around. So now I know where all the old stuff went. There's no memorabilia, I mean, it's all gone. But apparently he's got the largest collection in the West Coast, and that's, you know, part of that. I mean, the parade, I think, starts in someplace in Virginia City, and it ends it there, and everybody goes to the museum and stuff. But several of our officers have asked if we could go up, and I just want to approach you. What we'd like to do is obviously drive a couple of our cars in the parade if we went. So what I'm asking the board for is permission to drive our cars to Virginia City, participate in the parade, and then come back. All the trip expenses, whatever, will be on our funding, our dime. We even pay for the gas. We would like to use like a couple of the cars. We'll even pay for the gas.
Can I go?
You can go. You can go.
You have insurance, right?
Well, the district has insurance on the cars, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm coming to you is that if we had went and I didn't come to you, I could just see the phone call. You know, chief of police, Kensington, driving a, you know, black and white Kensington car in Reno, Nevada, at a house of gambling or something. I just see the headlines already. But that's what we'd be doing and participating in the festivities up there for National Law Enforcement Week. And it's just the weekend. It's Friday and Saturday nights. We would leave Friday, you know, in the afternoon, get up there Friday evening, and then Saturday morning is the parade. And if you want to come and participate, we can include
I
that.
Have to tell you, the last time I was in Virginia City, there was a Harley Davidson rally there. I had never been to Virginia City, so I, you know, it's kind of like an old western town, and there must have been 10 million Harley Davidsons and very proud Harley Davidson riders. And I thought, this is just like the old West must have been. Except there's motorcycles other than horses out there. I have visions of you guys going up there.
So the only question I want to ask is, did that create an issue for coverage or anything for that evening?
No, not really. The officers that are off obviously be going up. We're 4 hours away. And it's happened before. We all had to come, well, Keith had to come back on a case. So if something comes up, you know, we get the call if it was major, and we come back.
I meant in terms of cars.
Yeah.
No, if they're gone, they have nothing to drive. I mean, there will be enough cars here.
I can live.
Director Will?
I'm fine with it.
Director Tune?
I'm fine with it, too.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think that recognition and funding the job for something like this is well worth the effort. And you have my blessing.
Now, if it turns out that we have a lot of stolen property up there, do you want me to collect it or just leave it in the museum?
Bring it all home.
Okay.
I'm going to double down the car.
Yeah. Well, I made the little joke coming in here that our Ford Explorer is a 2001, and that's one of the ones I want to bring up there. It's kind of a historic vehicle, but I'll bring that up when we talk about the budget next month.
All right. Fair enough. I think that's all we have on the agenda tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I want
to...
Okay. It looks like for some of us, we're going to be able to say goodnight, but for the board, we're going to have to go back for a few minutes and tighten up some loose ends. But thank you so much for coming out. Is a question here?
Well, Director Toombs is right. I mean, one of the things I was told is they were going to prohibit the left turn down onto Sunset there. That isn't correct. What we found out is they were exploring, talking about, and what I found out they were talking about was possibly extending the double yellow line to the island, and therefore would limit, no, I shouldn't even say this, but it would limit their liability. So you could still make that turn, but if you did so, you'd do it at your own risk and liability. And they're just looking at that, too. That's not something they're moving forward with. So at this time, these are just, they're in the talking stage and they're not moving forward.
That's all right. Well, thank you for coming up and commenting on it.
What's your name, sir?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, unless you want to stick around for the readout from the closed session, which will be, we went to closed session. Say good night to everybody. Mm.